Back, everyone. This is the Spiritual Bazaar, and I'm A, and you're listening to an anonymous audio cast by someone on the road to recovery while exploring spiritual paths and the mystery of life. So this is part two of my qualification, or my story. So I left off with my first coming into a 12-step program. So I'm going to make this part of my story as brief as I can, and yet it is the longest part of my story. I was in the program for a little over a year. Within 6 months of that year, I had really gotten to a place where I felt clean mentally, emotionally. I felt stable and grounded. And by about 10 months, I had found the love of my life. Now, when you're in the program, it's highly suggested that you don't have a relationship until after a year. But this was something beyond just a relationship. It was the most moving, I can't even express how beautiful it was to meet this person. And then when we connected, it was just and when I say meet, I mean get to know and connect. And when we connected, it really was that first date that we had together. Up until then, you know, I was bartending and living a sober life, and I was working with this person in the same place, and I kept trying to resist the urge to ask this person out, but eventually I folded, and I, you know, despite what the program said, I had to. I don't know why. I just had to ask this person out, and this person turns out to be the love of my life, and like I've said before, I'm pretty sure you only get one chance at the one great love. And anyway, so we both fell deeply in love together, and it was something so beyond our control, so much bigger than anything we could have possibly imagined. I said that same thing about the experience I had with the drug, but this is like, it's cosmic, do you know? It's cosmic, it's not like an addiction. It's like a merging of spirits into one. But we both were afraid because one lived in another country, and we both lived in different countries, and she had to go back to finish school. I was a complete wreck leaving the airport after I saw her off, and all I remember from that time was just looking at the moon, driving back from the airport, and driving and just tears rolling down my eyes, and to the point I was a little concerned about driving because it was making my sight a bit disjunct. So I tried to keep it together, made it home. Again, I was living with the parents at that time. And I know that my mother could see how painful it was for me to say goodbye. We left it open. We had, maybe talked about getting together, somehow or another, living together somehow or another, and eventually possibly even marriage in order to make that happen, because when it's an international relationship, the legality and the paperwork is what can help keep you together, and you don't have to worry about green cards or visas for work, and you know, it just simplifies the ability to stay together. And we loved each other so much, but before I went to her country, because I needed to see her one more time just to be sure, right, before we actually got married, I moved back to the city, and I had a one-night relapse, and it was the first time I felt that much self-pity and regret. Because now it wasn't just me that I was destroying. I had a glimpse of betraying someone else. Anyway, eventually we met in her country, and we saw each other, and we knew right away that was it, that we really loved each other, and that we were going to get married, and we're going to do this thing, and live together. We had discussed what I did. I shared that. And we still decided to get married. Up until this point, I was still going to the program. Of course, you know, it's hard to go back in after a relapse, but I did go back into the program, and I was making my meetings. Eventually, after ridiculous bureaucracy, just trying to get all the legalities and in line and get all the right forms to be filled out and pay this fee and pay that fee and blah, blah, blah. Eventually, we were able to get married and live together here in the States. And it was a beautiful, beautiful start. We had a fantastic road trip moving out to a West Coast city from the East Coast. And living out there was actually a really tough time for us. It was the first time we were both stressed in a situation together, but in the end we decided that was not the place for us, and we made a move to come back to the East Coast and to live in the city here, where we live now. And what happened is, little by little, while we were on the West Coast, I didn't get a sponsor, I didn't work a program, and by the time we had come back to New York, I was barely attending meetings, but I thought I was okay. And then I had started school here, a decision that I would change if I had the chance to go back in time. But I went there, and due to the career choice, it forced me to explore aspects of my mind and my subconscious and my emotions that I was not prepared, and it shook me. And I panicked and thought, oh my God, you know, what am I doing? If I can feel these feelings, then are the feelings I'm feeling in real life actually real? And put me on a total mental trip. Had I been going to meetings and had I been working a program at that point, I highly doubt that would have happened. But I didn't have the foundation that an addict needs to maintain a stable and healthy way of thinking. And I started to doubt our relationship, and that was really a mess for a little while. And I deeply cut her, and I hated myself for going through that phase. And I think I always had a self-resentment for it, and I carried that with me for a while, and guilt. And that guilt was the beginning of little changes over time. I had a few more relapses. But each time I relapsed, I thought, okay, I'll go back to the program. And then I would start going. And then, of course, I didn't see through it because I thought if I really love this person enough, then I should be able to just do it of my own volition. Why do I have to have a crutch? If you love someone that much, how... Anyway, I've discussed this with you before, so I'm not going to get into it too much, but each time I relapsed, I became less of me and less of me. I became more burdened with guilt, and that guilt made me self-conscious around the person that I initially felt the most comfortable around being myself. And each time I relapsed, it got worse and it got worse, and I didn't know what to do, and I was ashamed. And the second to last time, I did start using the program again, but you know, our relationship was not doing as well, and I had done some terrible things. I relapsed when there was a death in her family, instead of being there for her. Again, I wish I could go back in time and change that, but we all know that that's just not possible. And I didn't have the insight and understanding that I have now. There was one time where she actually had to get into a cab, find me in a very shady part of town, and I put her well-being at risk. And that was the first time she actually saw me high on crack cocaine. I think that was the first time anyone that I was close to saw me like that. Not since, you know, I don't know, 13 years before that. You know, in all those years together, even though I progressively began to hate myself more and more, especially in the earlier years, we had such a beautiful thing. Do you know? It's something that you read about, something you hope for, something that you dream about. And if I only knew what I knew now, I would have done things differently, and we would both probably be in a beautiful state of love and rapture as we were then. I know relationships evolve and change, but I'm telling you, it was grace. And I chipped away at it. I chipped away at it, little by little. I became more ashamed with myself. I had spurts of sort of re-energizing and reawakening and trying to get myself together. But then each time I failed, I crashed into a depression or eventually severe anxiety attacks, which led up to my recent relapse. And now everything's on the line. Every day I don't know if we're going to be together or not. It doesn't matter how much I want to be with her, and it doesn't matter how much I believe that we can reconnect and find that soulful connection that we once had, because I'm not the only one that's dealing with shit now. I've dragged her down into the muck, and I can't possibly understand what she's going through. I can imagine, I can have an idea, but I don't really know. I don't know what it's like to be on the receiving end of a relationship with an addict. I hear about it. I hear about it from other addicts as well, who had a co-relationship with someone else who was an addict. But how do you forgive someone who stole your life away? The one person that you thought was going to bring you a better life and to brighten your life. Do you know? So that's what I'm dealing with on a daily basis now. Every day is up and down. One day it's a little glimmer of hope. The next day, It looks dark. Or the next moment. And, we both love each other. But the question is, after you've lived with an addict for so long, and you can no longer trust that person, how can you live with that person, really? Some people do manage to rebuild and have beautiful, lifelong relationships together. But I don't know if that's in store for me. I really don't. And that has been the hardest part of my journey, is because I've constantly hurt the person that I love the most. And it's selfish. It's self-destructive. As an addict, as long as you self-destruct, the addiction part of your mind has an out. It has a way. If you get depressed enough, if you're anxious enough, if you hurt someone enough to feel crappy about yourself, then that's just one more excuse to go out and use again, because that's the only thing that'll make you feel better. That's not true. But that's what your brain is constantly telling you nonstop. But now that I'm in the recovery this time, I have an understanding of this. I get it. I get that I lose everything that I put before my recovery. It's a paradox, but it's true. My spiritual growth, my spiritual life has to be number one. Because when we first met, I was on a good and healthy path, and my priority in life was my sober life. So of course it worked out, because I was in a good place. But I made the mistake of, because I always thought of us as one, I made the mistake of putting my sobriety before everything else. And pride also kept me away from that. And the inability to express myself and really share my thoughts. Because if I had thoughts that scared me, I didn't want to tell anybody about it. I wanted to, if I convinced other people I was fine, then that would kind of make me feel better, and I could keep going forward. But, nope, it doesn't work. So, after being a complete ass and a terrible person in so many ways, now I'm on a road to recovery that has, I see a future for myself. I see a healthy future for myself, and that feels good. It feels really good. But I know I have to be diligent about that, and I can never let that go, because being in recovery or being recovered means working a program of prevention. And that is a lifelong commitment. And I have to accept that. I can't just fix it and then go back to being the way I was before and take my own will and run with it. Nope. No, I'm done with that game. If you're an addict, if you feel like you're on the threshold of being an addict, or you're dealing with some other emotional trauma, I think we can all understand each other to a degree. And any of us who've experienced severe depression and hopelessness, it doesn't matter what our affliction is, that's something that we can share and support with each other. And support each other. So, whatever it is that you may be going through, I really hope that you can find something that I've shared and will continue to share with you as a way to not feel so alone. And first, when you decide and you accept that you have a problem, and then you reach out to other people and you can share, then you've germinated the seeds to opening yourself up and beginning to release those demons and beginning to release all the crap that you've put on yourself and the baggage that you carry because of the crap you've put on other people. We can get through this together. We really can. I know that. I believe it. And I'm working it every day now. I feel better. I feel really good in so many ways, but not knowing what the future is going to be like is extremely difficult. Not knowing where my relationship's going to be is a heavy, heavy burden. But that is not an excuse for me anymore to give up or to give in. I'm going to keep on going, man. Yeah. It's hard to be optimistic when you have crap going on still. When you have the repercussions of your actions cycling back into your consciousness every day. Because the things that you've done, you can't always just say that's in the past and move on. Because it still lives, some of those things. And you have to face it every day. So it makes it hard. It really does. But despite that little emotional roller coaster, every day when I go to a meeting and I talk to people or talk to friends on the phone and I can share about what I'm feeling and the mistakes I made and be really honest about it, do you know? Really, really honest. And not hold things back. It reminds me every day that there is hope, that there is hope. And that I can get better, I can feel better. And then one of my main concerns, of course, is do I have hope that the other person closest to me, the love of my life, will they ever be free and happy with me? And if that's not the case, they have to be free and happy without me. Because when you love someone, you want them to be happy. So, do I feel bad? Do I feel shameful still here and there? Yeah, of course I do. You know, it's going to take a while to go away, but I have to be patient. I have to be patient because I know that if I'm not patient, if I allow myself to feel hopeless, then I'm going to undo everything I've done and I'll be back to using again and I'll be back to hurting people again. My friends and my family. And I've had a family home life for years with this person. We don't have children, but we have in our hearts, we're a family. And I've destroyed so much of that to the point that it's almost gone. But deep in our hearts, I know that we're still connected. I don't know where it's going to go. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that because I can just talk in circles about this. So, anyway, thank you for listening again. And I hope that you can start feeling better too, the way I have. If you have any advice, please send it. I'd love to hear it. You can message me on Instagram if you want, Spiritual Bazaar. You can go to the website, spiritualbazaar.com, or you can go to Twitter. And that is Spiritual Bazaar, Spiritual B-I-Z-A-R-R-E. And let me know what you think, you know? If you've had an experience like I have or can relate emotionally, let's share with each other, you know? Let's help each other out. All right, so that's all I've got today. Cheers to optimism. And be well, everyone. Thank you.